Welcome to the Roll As Taken Campfire. We are back with Sleepaway. I am Graham. I use he and they pronouns. I play Jet, who uses Z0 pronouns. I am joined by my usual lovely folks.
Hi, I'm Em. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm going to be playing Sean Gast. I feel like I haven't said his last or their last name in a while. And they use they, them pronouns.
I'm Mickey. I play the one. My pronouns are they, them. I play the wonderful Achille, who uses any pronouns, but has surrendered to the Lindworm. So now I'm just chilling.
And I'm Chris, and I literally forgot about that last bit. So cool beans. I use whatever pronouns. And I play Sabrina, who uses she, her pronouns.
All right. I do want to shout out, there's apparently a Polygon article that came out today, although this is going to be like 3 months from now when the episode finally drops, that mentioned an upcoming game from Possum Creek Games, who make Sleepaway, called Yaziba's Bed and Breakfast, which may or may not be in Kickstarter at some point nearby, that looks really fun. So highly recommend checking that out. But yeah, we were talking about the stuff that happened last time. Hey, resident note taker.
Yes. Tis I.
What happened last time?
Oh my gosh, so much happened. We were down the well, and we eventually ran into Jet for the first time, but we, despite all of our efforts, Jet's face continued to stay blank while looking at us without recognition. I even used a move to show Jet the past of all of us interacting, and Zir, like, kind of, like, understood that Z was, like, with us, but not really, doesn't have that emotional connection, and I think that just broke some of our players. Harlow is the Cataract Knight, and he has the First Blade Ever Forged. We learned all these things. We are going to the Underhill King to kind of request help, answers, all of the things, all of the above. But Achille kind of doesn't want to come with us, and eventually they ask the Lindworm to act, and she is taken from us. Then we run into the Hitchhiker, and they're like, yeah, he's gone, that one's gone. Talking about Achille, we're all kind of like in shock. Not so much Jet. He kind of is like, oh, someone died. Less emotional about it.
Shit happens.
And then the Hitchhiker said something like, he loves a riddle. Referring to, I think, who loves a riddle? I forget who loves a riddle. But he loves a riddle.
Yeah, it was in reference to that riddle that the rabbits told us a while ago.
Yes.
And that you had kind of learned from the Underhill King is an important thing to remember going forward, the Lindworm. And he helped you answer the riddle.
He helped us answer the riddle. We answered the riddle?
Yeah, Sabrina got it.
What was it, Sabrina?
Did I? It was the thing said, or the thing written is the contract between the Hitchhiker and the Lindworm? Yes, no?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so the answer to, like, the riddle was a thing said, a thing written, or done to deal, and the answer to the riddle is a contract, and the Hitchhiker told us about the contract between himself and the Lindworm.
Right. They were like...
He also told us we're gonna die.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And didn't we also kind of determine, was it the Underhill King and the Lindworm that were like, maybe in a relationship that kind of went bad?
They were like a thing.
They were a thing. Yep.
It's in the description of the Underhill King, like from the book. And I also know that it came up in the episode where we first meet the Underhill King, because I was just editing that one.
Yeah.
I think there's some indication that they were an item at one point. It sounds like they're maybe on the outs, though, because Jet got unreasonably angry when the hitchhiker intimated that the Lindworm was going to sort of usurp death in a way. And that kind of ended that interaction, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like 3 weeks.
No, that is correct. And then we did go to the Underhill King. So we were there. But I don't think we asked them any questions yet.
I think we were... There he is. Couldn't find my character sheet. I think we were, like, waiting for an audience.
Right.
Because, you know, you don't... You wait on the king's schedule, not on... You don't see a king on your schedule, of course. So I think when we left off, and it's possible we got a little bit further than this and I've forgotten in the interim because it's been like 3 weeks, but we we were in sort of like a waiting room, kind of like resting. I think Sabrina and Sean were having a nap, and Jet was kind of standing guard by the door. And Achille, of course, is dead, question mark.
There was definitely like some discussion as well about a sacrifice with the Underhill King. It was either Jet or the Cataract Squire had mentioned that the king generally demands something in the exchange of something.
Ah, yes.
That's how he do.
He requires a sacrifice. Well, and I mean, Achille was not really a sacrifice to the Underhill King, but we could maybe spin it that way.
You like a bargain.
I was going to throw out a detail, too, that I don't think I mentioned, but I thought it was kind of a neat detail, is you recall when we did the spell that kind of, like, built the bridge over the split camp, the thing that Jet sacrificed was the sensation of holding hands with Achille. So I'd been kind of thinking, what if, like, once Zay were dead, Zay had this memory of that sensation? And it wasn't until Sean showed the memories that Zay kind of knew, like, how that all pieced together. So it still kind of feels like it happened to someone else, but Zay kind of have these pieces are kind of slipping back together again in Zay's head. Gotta fill this with as much queer angst as we can, right?
It's so, like, just Shakespearean. Like, Romeo and Julian. Like, just...
it's like Gnomeo and Juliet, but with fewer
lines. Gnomeo! Oh. Okay. Well, Sabrina... It's just you and I guess. What do we want? I don't even know anymore, because now all I want are my friends back.
Only we could just pause and go back to the last episode, because I think we briefly talked about it at the end there.
Did we?
I think so, because we were like asked, like, what are we asking for? There's two things. We want to, Sabrina urged learning to fight, but I think that's from the Cataract Knight. What we're asking from the Underhill King is help. How, like, help? What are the weaknesses of the Lindworm, or to find the queen, the gender queen, and the stars?
Yep, the stars under the mountain, right?
Yeah, or the true stars.
The true stars.
Which he is said to have stolen. So he's back all the way to the beginning. Yeah. Yeah. I think I do recall that Sabrina was also pissed. It just, like, had enough.
We are not dying. Not after all of it.
Okay.
We should ask the king if he knows of any weaknesses of this Lindworm. And also if he knows where we can find the help in Der Queen.
Okay.
Does that sound right?
That sounds right. And maybe, like, if we can bring our friends back. Like, we kind of have Jet back. I'm really happy that Z's here, but now we lost Akili. And I know we're trying to stay positive. We're not all going to die. It's going to be fine. But I'm going to ask. Do we know what we're going to sacrifice?
We could wait and see if he even asks for one. But I guess you're right. We should plan ahead.
I mean, we can wait. But I think we should have something in mind. Right. Maybe he'll take memories, or maybe he'll take items that are full of memories.
Yeah. Well, I don't really have anything on me. I sort of broke Jet's lantern way back at the entrance of the well. So
did we take anything from Akili? Did he leave us anything?
I don't think I have anything. Not that I can recall. And she starts ruffling through her pockets to no avail.
Well, hopefully the king will take memories and not lives.
Right. Because no one is going to die.
No one else is going to die.
No one else is going to die.
Pinky promise?
Pinky promise.
Okay. I think we're ready.
I'm kind of picturing that Jet has been kind of like standing outside of the room and like knows you're having a conversation, but because you haven't invited Zim in, they're just kind of like chilling, like waiting by the door politely.
So they operate on vampire rules now?
Perhaps Zay is a vampire now.
Well, how about this? I guess, Jet.
Hmm?
You're still kind of a part of our group, even if you don't quite remember. So come on in. And you're going to also get a token because you crossed the threshold with my invitation.
Oh.
Because that's my lore.
Sweet. Yeah. I like tokens.
Take a token and come on in.
Yay.
That feel when you haven't been counting tokens.
All right. Got a few tokens to use here. So what are we talking about?
Well, I think we're going to ask the Underhill King some questions, but do you know anything about what he kind of requires for sacrifices?
So you kind of think about it, heave a sigh, and kind of go, it depends on the request from the person. For some it is service, for some it is power, memories, resolve, an occasion, it's an item. Sometimes it works on sort of credit. You do something for him in the future, and he will give you something today. And sometimes it is you have already done something for him and he is to reward you. It's complicated.
Okay.
Sounds reasonable. Maybe he'll just ask us to do some chores.
That would be nice. Is it about time for our audience with the Underhill King?
Yes, I believe he is finishing the parade, the military inspection, momentarily in his hall. So I think we can head on over, and then we're sort of the first petitioners of the day.
Okay.
So we go there.
Yes, we're going there. Mickey, will you be our embodiment of strangeness?
Sure will.
Of mess. Yeah, I love that this embody a strangeness version of masculinity to be the Underhill King.
I love it. So the doors swing open to a hall. Thick doors made of stone, and they grind against the wet earth beneath them. And as they're pushed open, you're welcomed into a hall that's filled with strange artifacts from all over time. Some things seem like there from an archaeological dig. There are small bowls on the side, wooden spoons, jars of honey. There are pieces of jewelry. You notice picture frames. And this continues.
You've gone quiet, yeah.
Technical difficulties. Now's a great time to say
this trail continues up towards a mound. That's the back wall of the hall. Looks like it's like 20 meters or so from you, from where you stand at the door. And a trail of all of these sacrifices wind towards an enormous mound made of even more sacrifices still. And atop it sits a large, imposing figure with broad shoulders, holding a rusted blade on his mighty shoulders. Arms flopped over either side of the rusted blade, and large antlers protruding from a headpiece that covers the upper part of his face. He's humanoid, but large and very imposing.
I look at Jet. Is he bowing? Like, do we bow?
Oh, yeah. Yes, he probably would bow.
Okay. I bow.
I think
as well.
It's sort of perfunctory bow, not like a, you know, full bowing and scraping on the ground, but like a, you know, very deep, very respectful.
Okay.
Sabrina also.
Step forward. Hello, oh great Underhill King. We have traveled far and lost much to get here to be in front of you and to seek your wisdom on a few burning questions. The first one, are we allowed more than one question a person, or...
You are. You have my time.
Okay, great.
For the foreseeable time.
I'll go first. Where can we find the Hellbender Queen?
What's kind of funny, just as a reminder, the Underhill King is the person who sent us on the quest in the first place.
Yes. Might be true. He might be annoyed.
Adds layer to this, right? Like, you couldn't figure it out on your own. Why are you here? Fair.
I seem to recall sending a group not unlike your own to find this. And information does come at a price. You may have my time, but you do not have my information. What will I get in return?
I will give you my most cherished misery. Memories of a friend long dead.
No, that one won't work. I need something to achieve my highest power. I need information about how to make others feel small. I need information about what makes others see my power. I will take a time that you... I will take a memory in which you made someone else feel small.
Ooh. Okay, okay. How about... Oh, this might work. How about... And I kind of, like, grab onto Sabrina's hand. I will give you the memory of when... I, not on purpose, not knowingly, but I made someone feel small by ignoring their feelings and finding comfort in someone else almost right in front of them. So there's that.
Sabrina visibly, like, turns her head away. You don't know if she's angry or shy or...
Sorry.
Jet misses all of it. has no idea what's going on.
Will you take it?
I will accept this gift. I will accept this memory. And in return, I will tell you a location. On the other side of the creek with the mud castles was the last I saw.
Other side of the creek. Okay. Thank you, King. And I'm assuming I now lose those memories.
The king will just nod to you, and you'll almost see visually the,
like a stream of smoke come out of your ear, wind around your skull, and then move towards the king.
If Sabrina's able to see this, we'll just kind of watch with a sigh, as now she's the only one that has to live with these feelings and this memory. Feels pretty lonely.
Still holding your hand, because I don't know what that does for me if I don't remember that moment.
Do you not even know why? She'll just, so as she's watching, she'll just suddenly, let go of your hand and place it back in her own.
Okay.
Great. When you do find her, if you could just give her a message that the Underhill King sent you to Queen Newt.
Her message. Is that another sacrifice we are making? Do we get another additional question for doing that task for you?
Absolutely not! And you just feel this booming vibration in your chest.
Got it.
Do we sense any embarrassment from the king? Like, it was almost a gotcha moment, but he's like, not so fast.
Sabrina?
Right. Thank you for the information, but we have to ask for just a bit more. I want to know if you know any weaknesses of this limbed worm, sir.
The Underhill King thoughtfully brings a hand to his chin. The fingers are almost skeletal. They're so thin and joints so bony. And you see them slowly tap on his chin. He then leans back and says, I do know some ways to antagonize that horrible beast. I used to enjoy antagonizing that beast a lot more, but more pressing things are now in my vision. I could teach you some things. I'd need something in return.
I am an expert at making really decorative t-shirts. I could make you some, or teach you how to make some.
The Underhill King has need of tie-dye.
She's really good too.
I do not understand this skill, but it is not something I want. Make me other offerings.
And almost under her breath, kind of sure that was a long shot, but still hoping it was the best she had to give. Right. Well, you said that you enjoyed antagonizing the Lindworm. Perhaps we can help be part of that. Maybe our goals are aligned in some way.
If you were already going to fight the Lindworm, my joining you is not a sacrifice from you, but a sacrifice from me. I will allow you one more suggestion, Underhill King says while rubbing his eyes. I grow tired of this. I will give you one more chance to make a sacrifice. And if it does not please me, I will give you my terms.
She kind of puffs out her cheeks. And I gotta say, I am so tempted to use a move, bungle something you were confident you could handle. I think I'm gonna bungle it. I'm gonna use a weak move. I'm gonna bungle it.
Do it.
Okay. I also am really great at drawing pictures of animals. And I can make you as many as you want, whatever animal, or I could teach you, like the antlers. I could do a portrait of you.
Civilizations across time, mountains themselves have made my image and you believe that your image would be a gift? No, these are my terms. I have a militia, an army, that I am using to gain my goals. Return to the high, powerful status I once had. Move above this earth, which envelops me now. Looks up towards the ceiling that you now realize is a system of roots dripping. Upon your death, I will accept your souls into my army, and you will fight for my interests for all of time. These are my terms.
All of us or just Sabrina?
Well, the Cataract Squire has already claimed your champion. I will accept your two souls, Sean and Sabrina. And you realize in your mind you didn't tell the king your name?
I guess. Do we want that bad? I'm like whispering now to Sabrina.
I don't know about you. My first instinct was to just say yes.
I mean, it's only after we die, right? Is that the
Are you asking the king?
Yeah.
Yes. After you die,
okay.
I will take your souls for all eternity to fight in my army.
I mean, like, I feel like my soul's like already on its own, right? Like, it can't be controlled. I'm now whispering to Sabrina. So, like, we could just say yes.
I did think of that. I also just thought, like, I'm still fine with it. But if we say yes, is that not giving him incentive to kill us? Or for us to die?
You know, I didn't think about it that way. And I think you're kind of right.
He is a death god.
I gotta say, I'm not having a great time in the plane of the living as it is, given everything that's happening, so I'm just gonna say yes if you're okay with it.
Yeah, let's maybe Achilles' soul can come too, who knows.
Oh, maybe, yeah, should we ask about that too? Do we have a third thing to get? Anyway, yes.
Yeah,
the answer is yes.
We're like so blasé with this king. I love it.
I know, I think Jet is a little bit offended by it, but is, like, too polite to say anything.
They're,
you know,
like, clutching pearls.
Right. So they've been in service to this king for what feels like decades, and so to see these sort of outsiders come and be like, what up, Holmes? How's it going? It's just a little bit weird, but also Sir kind of, like, a little, like, intrigued by all the talk of the relationship with the Lindworm, because I think they've only heard about it like through rumor and innuendo, not like specifically from the king's lack of lips.
Fantastic. I just need you to repeat after me. I hereby pledge my soul.
I pledge my soul.
For all of time following my demise.
For all of time following my demise.
To the Underhill King. The Corpse Lord. The Horn God.
I was like, the Whore God? Oh my.
That's a different God.
This just got interesting.
Yeah, that's a different story.
I was like, maybe I'm okay with this God.
Scython. And will fight in his army.
Will fight in his army.
Fantastic. It's done. Now, the Lindworm. You want to know weaknesses of the Lindworm?
Yes.
Gods, fervently.
The Lindworm cannot exist without vessels for very long, so it is often in a vessel. Well, it is within a vessel, a human. There is potential to trap it in the human. It's not often done, and it certainly hasn't been done in many millennia. But if you can trap the Lindworm inside a human, and then manage to cover its eyes and ears, the Lindworm can be trapped in that prison for long enough for other rulers to achieve their greatness.
Rulers being you?
Sure, I'll be rude.
The anticipation.
They make a dramatic exit.
It shall all be revealed, as most things are.
One more request, which I think we all of us, and I pointedly look at Jet too, would like, is to know if we will ever run into our departed friend again.
Oh, but there's been so many.
There has. This one holds a special place in each of our hearts and has connected us.
Oh, yes. Well, I wanted them for my army, you see. Well, at least in the beginning. Kind of lost it towards the end. I don't know how well they would manage on a battlefield. But their destiny was not in my army, or by the Lindworm's side, it would seem. No, their soul is moving. You'll see them again. They'll look more like Jet. No, look isn't the right word. Smell? Feel. They'll feel more like Jet feels now. They're on a new path. But you'll see them again. Maybe when you do, could you ask them to maybe join my army when you all die? I think they would be a good asset.
Oh, are you asking us favors now?
Sabrina kind of gives Sean the elbow in the thigh.
You may leave my chambers.
Okay.
And, oh my god, a dramatic exit.
They're just like, bye.
They poofed us out of the room and slammed the door.
Oh.
Can we have that have actually happened, the poofing and slamming the door? Because that would be kind of sick.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
Poof slam.
Mm-hmm. It's like you don't even blink, but suddenly you're standing outside with the door slammed in your face.
Yeah. I think I was a little too myself in there.
I would say so.
That's okay.
The king does not often provoke that much disrespect. It is unusual. Perhaps there is something that he wanted from us that we did not get a chance to offer.
Well, no worrying about it now. May the wind be ever on our back, and shall we move forward? I honestly have to say I'm very relieved, confused about meeting Akili again, wherever they may be.
Yeah, I don't
perhaps
like the idea of, and she kind of like puts her eyes at Jet, finger quotes, and then whispers towards Sean, the coming back or feeling like Jet. I don't like the sound of that. No offense.
Yeah, no.
Perhaps she found a new patron or a master of some sort.
Maybe he'll still fall in love with Jet. Maybe like, you know, like they're fates are still aligned. Am I like now whispering this to Sabrina? Like, but what if it's still like, what if that's still normal?
That would be great, but
Sean ships him.
How are their souls going to be together in the afterlife if Akili has to go fight in the war with us?
Well, the Cataract Squire is kind of in the war with us.
And she turns to Jet. Are you in the war? Are you fighting for the king?
You fuck with the war? Are you?
Yes, that's what I'm here for.
Oh!
I'm also pretty sure this is turning into a Decemberist song.
Then it all works out. We'll see what happens.
We all have to be together forever, I guess.
Yeah.
Sean's staring pointedly at Sabrina.
Yeah.
Now that I've forgotten.
I'm curious that, like, now that that memory is completely out of your head, does this change the dynamic of their relationship in Sean's eyes? Like, they must have an entirely different view without that burden.
I was thinking, we'll see how it plays out, but that's what I was thinking, was that Sean does not feel guilty now anymore about that situation happening, and they were probably also crushing on you at some point. So now they don't have that guilt holding them back. But if Sabrina obviously is uncomfortable with it, then Sean's gonna stop.
Interesting. Horrible. I love it. Because right now, as far as she knows, this like this is still awkward on her end because she can't unremember that. There's a word for that already. It's called forget. Anyway, moving on.
Right. So, next steps?
I think we should find the Hellbender Queen. That was what you needed to help with, and I think the knight is willing to let me aid you in your endeavors.
Okay.
Hey, do you have any, just kind of like a weird finger wave with her hands, like special knowledge about navigating to the queen? Or like, he told us the directions, but I don't know, things are kind of crazy up on the surface. They just change and poof, people.
So I have got on my character sheet, you had forgotten a childhood dream about, and the thing I picked was a secret hidden behind a waterfall. And I've been kind of wondering if what that secret is like a secret passageway that kind of takes you to, or at least near where the queen is.
That is correct. That's the answer we were looking for.
Definitely happened.
Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of liking this idea that like, it's not even like a natural waterfall. It's the waterfall that formed when the camp split open and the creek like kind of started falling into it. And sort of without saying anything, although they stopped to like, you know, have like a moment with Harlow and like interact with, you know, as your teacher before like departing the realm of the dead. And sort of without really saying anything, but still kind of like indicating, yes, I think I do. Like, I think they actually answer the question, I think I do. And then without saying anything, just kind of starts walking down a tunnel. And that's where you end up, is like this little ledge next to a cave behind a waterfall with like a little path that kind of winds back up toward the surface and kind of puts us right next to the creek with the mud castles.
Oh.
I dreamt of this place, but didn't exist until recently.
And this will take us there?
It's nearby. It's near where the king said we'd find. Where we'd find her.
Okay. Cool.
That feels too easy, though. That can't be that simple.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, or look gift horses in mouths. We're here. We're gonna go find her and ask her questions and hope that she doesn't ask for things from us.
Okay.
So do we just look around? Or looks pointedly at...
Go in?
I mean, I've not been here before. I am picking up the Hellbender Queen item, though, or card, though, and looking at her. I think there are whispers, like, coming from this kind of, like, hole in the ground that we're still kind of in. And I think we hear, like, slithering on, like, one part of the cave wall, and then on another part of the cave wall we hear, like, who is it? Who are they? Where are they from? Some questions and some sort of muttering to oneself. And then slithering, like, really close to us, really nearby, and, like, coming from a shadow. But when we kind of look closer, there's nothing there. And it's like some very large creature. Sounds like it's kind of slithering around this hollow in the earth.
Okay, so the goal is to get the true stars. So do we want to ask for them directly, or do we want to try and trick the queen?
You know, I hadn't...
I think you hear that whispering again.
Oh, what's it saying?
It says, oh, they want to trick us. Or do we want to trick them?
Oh, no.
I think that we should be direct and kind and just ask for help from this very wise entity. She smiles at the walls awkwardly.
I agree. We will be extremely kind.
Kindness never hurt anyone. Except when it did. More slithering, kind of off in the distance.
Ooh, you know, yeah. Maybe a special gift for the queen.
Mm-hmm. A gift? Now we're talking.
You see, like, or you hear there's an excitedness. Gift! More echoed voices.
What kind of a gift.
Something nice.
Is it shiny? I like shiny.
Oh, it would be shiny and bright. I'm looking at, like, Sabrina, like, I think it's gonna be a shiny and bright gift.
That could get them in the door. That could get them an audience.
I just talk at that point if they had something shiny and bright.
Sabrina audibly sighs at the word audience, but maintains her smile at Sean.
Right. We'll collect something shiny and bright and beautiful and wonderful. And she starts rummaging through her pockets again, alternate empty.
There's just some, like, scrabbling of, like sort of lizardy claws on some of the rocks nearby, as well as the slithering. And, like, probably too many feet. It's more than four legs, whatever this creature has.
How are we going to get this item? So,
Actually, this is maybe a good opportunity for us to figure out what the queen desires, because that's one of the things we get to pick up.
Yes.
So the options are blades, songs, dreams, flowers, blood, teeth, and hearts. Did we pick up the teeth?
If we picked teeth. Yeah, I was like, if we pick teeth, we could kind of weasel our, because we've got some teeth. Unfortunate.
I was going to say, teeth is a theme.
Teeth is a theme. It does feel right.
We also have access to blood and probably blades because Achilles is a little violent.
Mm.
Songs. We can sing songs.
I mean, I do also like dreams, but that does kind of fit in with some of the other things that we've already given away.
We're just going to wipe our minds clean at this point.
We're just going to forget right. Everything. I like the idea of blades.
Mm. Okay.
I'm down with that. Novice did that one already because it's shiny. Blades can be shiny. Teeth can also, I guess, be shiny. But
yeah, exactly. If they're brushed properly, brush your teeth, kids. You know, I like that. I like that a lot.
Some teeth. Do we choose the price of the true stars now too?
I was thinking we might do that once we got into see the queen.
Mm. Okay, let's do that.
But yeah, that is the next option. So I think what do you all do? Jet does not currently have any teeth.
What?
So they do have an arrowhead, though. I mean, teeth to spare.
Yeah, I literally just made the connection. I was like, they came back toothless, like...
Just gums.
Like, no teeth. Okay, I get it.
The Underhill King does not have dental.
Sean will take a few of the spare teeth out of their pocket because we have them.
You have
so troubling to just have some teeth.
And I just, wow, Sabrina, don't you think these are so shiny and bright?
Those are the shiniest teeth I've ever seen.
Somebody must have had good dental hygiene, Jet says, confused. As to why you all have teeth.
Ooh, shiny and bright, shiny and bright.
I hope we can bring these to the queen.
I think Jet also removes an arrow from your quiver and says, polished these pretty nicely. The head on this is, I'd also fairly shiny. It's kind of a blade. It's not really a blade. It's close enough.
It's close enough. It works.
Yeah, yeah. I could also offer one of these to the queen. I think we're about to lose Mickey again.
I know.
They froze.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah.
They looked like they were saying something important.
With the suspense.
We shall wait.
I know.
Just holding teeth and an arrow in silence.
It's been like a minute. Just like, is this working?
Oh, we'll take it. We'll take it. Yeah, yeah, we talked about it. We'll take it. Yeah, well, you said. Take it. We'll take it. Put it in the water. Did they say put it in the water? Okay. Like, slowly drop the teeth. Like four of them in the water.
You see a small whirlpool. Take them down.
I think Jet also drops the arrow.
Similarly, it defies kind of the natural ripple shapes.
Do we jump in? Oh, don't jump in. Don't jump in. This is where we live. You can't get there. Oh, no. Get with it up. No. Go. Go through. We'll talk to the stone. Talk to the stone. We'll move it. Up over to the stone.
And then there's like a crack in a stone. Just right. That expands and pushes. And you see
crack in the stone, just big enough to walk, but sideways. It's going to be very tight.
I think Jed kind of offers to go first.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. I'll go last.
What if I go last?
Okay, sure.
Eyes kind of go wide. Wasn't expecting it to be that easy.
thank you.
I mean, your choice.
I think, like, as you're we're all kind of like squeezing through the crevice, Jed kind of leans back and goes, "So here's the story I heard about the queen." And I'm basically just reading the description from the book because we haven't done that yet. But they go, "It is said the oldest stones beneath the river remember when there were different stars in the sky. 100 stars of shimmering gold whose light was slow and soft. But when the Lindworm came, the earth went dark, and in its weakness, the queen of all salamanders slithered up into the sky and stole the stars, leaving behind the rhinestone replicas in their place. The sky returned, as it always does, but the true stars were gone. That greedy queen slithered away between the rocks and hid her treasure in the sparkling moats along the river. Some say the only way to slay the Lindworm lies in those golden lights, but she will never part from them." Kind of like whispers that, like trying to get everybody up to speed.
Brina nods in understanding, but throughout all of this is very frantically trying to get to the other side of this. She's very claustrophobic.
Oh no.
That's who we're coming up against, at least from what I've pieced together. Stories I was told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gonna be hard to get those stars back. Mm-hmm. But
it's, yeah.
We have to try. And I'm assuming we make it to the end at this point. Past a little crack.
I was just looking to see if I had a good move to throw in. Oh, actually, I'll spend a token. And like, as we're getting near to the end, I will ask to Sabrina, why is your character holding themselves back? I'm trying to think of a like natural way to ask that, but just like, you know, I think sort of, is everything okay? Why are you rushing at the back? Where's that sort of fire that I saw back at the Underhill Kings?
I am just... See, I don't think she would answer it very straightforward because it's a big change happening in such a short amount of time. But I do believe she's becoming a little, how to put it, cynical of life itself. Like, at first it was sadness and grief and fear, but it's kind of just turning into nonchalance and if not anger at the situations that they've been put in. So, like, very, very rapid change in whole outlook on life. Since starting at this camp and having all of these things happen. But for now, she will simply answer. What was your exact wording? Because it sounds like you said, what is your thought? What was the question that you worded it to her?
Yeah, Jed kind of, I think I asked it very vaguely and kind of out of character. But I think the question I actually ask is basically like, where we're going to need someone who is full of fire. And at the moment, I'm worried that you don't have that fire in you that I saw earlier. Where did that go?
I still have fire. I'll be more fiery once we know what we're doing and we have the right weapons to fight. Don't worry about me. She kind of stands upright because, you know, she's always sort of shrunken violet. She stands upright and gives you like the firmest nod ever.
Jed is like half convinced. Goes, "All right, if you're ready, then I think we're ready."
A lot of pressure.
We're ready.
You walk into a cave that just drips with water, lining the room through the obstacle course ahead of you. It's incredibly dark, but there are a few bioluminescent mushrooms that offer a faint blue light to the space. And as you walk and look on the ground, you see no footprints, no sign of life beyond these mushrooms, yet you're in an empty cave. You feel eyes on you. I think Sean would look up first. Maybe in response to a drip that goes down your forehead. And as you cast your eyes up,
you see a slick, wet salamander figure that has not four arms, but six, holding on to crevices in the rock with bulbous finger points, and a head that's more humanoid than salamander. Possibly one of the most disturbing sights you've had yet. And it smiles a toothy grin. As it smiles, you realize it has teeth. And they look like the ones you threw in the river.
Ew.
As I recall, those were children's teeth, so I'm imagining very tiny teeth on the relatively big creature.
Even
so, that's even more nice.
Sabrina laughs.
So disturbing.
Oh man, that's creepy and weird.
Is this creepy and weird? Did I go too far? It's like very dark.
Okay. No, I love it. No, I love it. If the others haven't looked up yet, I like hit them while I'm staring upwards.
It's like a Zelda boss in here.
Oh my god. You just pulled an 8-year-old memory from me that... Okay, anyway. Sabrina looks up and kind of gives a gasp, but then an awkward wave once she sees the creature smile.
I think Jet's reaction is to like start reaching for Zirpo, but is like, nope, we're here to treat with royalty. This is not a moment for fighting. So to kind of, you know, put their hands down and then give a similarly deep bow. Not quite as deep as for Zero and King, but a deep bow. And I think, trying to figure out what the title they would have heard for the queen would be. I'm just looking at the sheet. Yeah, I love that. Oh, lady also works. I think they bow and say, you know, we greet you, red spotted lady, she who is hidden. Kind of straightens up.
Sean curtsies.
Nice.
There's kind of like a snorting noise from Queen, who will then just turn her head 90 degrees in a curious look and say,
You smell of the Underhill King?
I am at his service. My companions are pledged to be so upon their demise.
We also promise to give you a message that the Underhill King sends us to you.
You see her nose just like wrinkle, like just the whole face contorts.
Disgusting. You brought me shinies and now you do this? Oh, you stink. What do you want?
And kind of maneuvers around all of the protrusions in the ceiling and is now stood in front of you isn't the right word. She is attached to the wall directly in front of you, but her head is low and arms down and at awkward angles peeking up.
I'm also kind of imagining, like, her tail is still kind of in the ceiling. Because she is both extremely long, but also, like, conceivable in a way that's weird.
Well, I'm gonna use a weak move.
Now's the time.
And I'm gonna stay silent.
No!
Sean is like, I don't know what to say.
Jet kind of looks at Sabrina like, you know?
Chris is thinking. So Sabrina's also thinking. We did not plan this meeting. And we said we would use kindness. We're going to use kindness. Yes. Lady, spotted lady? Yes.
We've come from the Underhill King, but we are not here, despite his words, as his servants. We sought you out on our own, and we need your help. We need the true stars. And she smiles really, really bright.
I need your teeth.
Would you accept them after I'm dead?
It would piss off that old moldy king. Did you already pledge your teeth?
We didn't. We did not pledge our teeth.
Well, I'll take them. Thank you.
After death,
oh,
right?
After death, I'll take your teeth. All of them.
It is occurring to me, to Sabrina, that we are just increasing the bounty on our heads at this point.
It's going to be some real weird organ donor forms to fill out.
I'm literally holding in cackles right now. This is hilarious. Okay, carry on.
The stars for teeth. No. Teeth are nice, but not for the stars, no.
Why did you ask for the teeth?
I just want them. They're so shiny. So I'll take your teeth. But the stars, I worked so hard for the stars. Before the planets were here, I took the stars. You want them? Well?
Depending on, I don't know. And I kind of turn to the group. Do we need to keep them? Is there a possibility we can return them once we're done with them?
Do we know what we actually need them for?
I think we need them to help us defeat the Lindworm.
Yeah, but afterwards, we give them back.
All of them?
We could probably give them back if we use them to somehow defeat the Lindworm and or trap the Lindworm like the Hellbender King. Or the Underhill King told us.
What do you talk about?
So we're asking to...
Our teeth?
Here's what I want.
We...
While you were talking of teeth... I was thinking. The Moth Monarch has... The Moth Monarch has taken all of the moths out of the cave. And I miss them. I miss when they fall in the puddles. And then they flap around. And I miss them. I want a moth. It'll piss off the moth me. That monarch, that maiden, it will make them so angry. Yeah, I want a trapped moth. And then I'll give you one star.
Is one star sufficient to defeat the Lindworm?
No. Probably not. You probably need at least three.
If we return, can we negotiate perhaps additional stars as needed?
You think you could get that many moths?
Can try.
Okay. You could come back for more if you... I look forward to having your teeth.
Much obliged, oh, spotted one. Not for many years, but much obliged.
We hope.
All Sean musters is like little whimper.
Think Jet, you know, standing on ceremony goes for another, like... deep bow, and is like, we thank you for your audience. We shall return when we have Emoth for you.
Okay.
And I think with that kind of like, you know, leads the other two out. I'm imagining it's very awkward because we have to go back through the the little crevice, and it is extremely slow, and we can just the whole time see the queen just watching us as we try to leave. It's that awkward, like, we've said goodbye, but now we all have to, like, walk in the same direction. But vibe. I think that's also probably a good spot for us to end.
Yeah.
Unless you guys, anybody else had anything quick?
I just had a question. Do we see the stars while we're in there?
No.
What do you think?
No.
She's hiding them.
I've imagined, to go along with all the grossness of the Hellbender Queen, I've imagined she's eaten them and they're in her stomach.
I do like that.
She's glowing.
So are we gonna get a whole
Probably.
Because she's so gross. I'm glad y'all liked how nasty.
Gonna have to look
got.
Up some vomiting sound effects. I will probably not actually include that.
The voices are so good, by the way. You've done like 50 different voices for this game, and they're all
they are very good.
Top notch.
I will also say that I genuinely had no idea what the Hellbender Queen was gonna look like, because I just kind of really love the name and wanted the character in the game as a result, and okay. She's fantastic.
When you said multiple feet, I was like, I'm pretty sure you're talking about the spirits that we're talking, but I was like, wait, the Hellbender Queen could have multiple feet. Gross.
I was actually going off the picture of her in the book, which has like 8 feet legs.
Well, good. I'm glad you like her.
Yeah, the picture she's is great. So cute, and that's what I was imagining, and you were describing it. I'm like, oh my god, it's a giant salamander, and then you describe the humanoid face and the baby teeth. I was just like, okay. I have to say, this episode, after all the drama and all the tears, this was unintentionally really hilarious. Like,
this was really good.
Super
fun. A nice reprieve.
Yeah, right? Fantastic.
Thank you for listening to The Role Less Taken Campfire. You have been listening to Chris as Sabrina, M as Sean, Mickey as Achille, and Graham as Jet. We are playing Sleepaway by Jay Dragon of Possum Creek Games, with some elements from the Uncanny expansion, also by Jay Dragon. You can find more information on that in the show notes. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Role Less Taken. That's Role with an E. Please rate and review us on Podchaser and iTunes. Please also tell your friends about the show. Tune in for our next episode. Thanks for listening.